Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th of May, and I'm recording at 9:37 p.m., and that's British summertime, and a lovely summery day. It certainly was here in London, and I hope similarly where you are. Now, aren't these markets fascinating? There's certainly a lot going on. Let's start with stock markets here. In Asia, well, Japan sort of mixed to a fraction higher, although not the Nikkei, down a tiny bit. Interesting, in China, Hang Seng was up over 1%. We had small tenth of a percent like declines in the Shanghai Composite and other Chinese indices. China Enterprise Index is mixed action. China Enterprise Index up 1.38%. Most of the markets, these markets in Asia, were steadier. For once, though, India was not up, but it was only down, well, it was less than a quarter of a percent. We had Malaysia reach a new closing high. Not a new all-time high, but it's a steady performance overall. It didn't go up as much as Indonesia or Thailand one of the others that I watch. So one of the other high flyers out there. But it's a steady performance, and maybe signaling that it's ended what had been that lengthy medium-term corrective phase. And also, Indonesia's done well. It's kept pushing up here and is actually within touching distance of its high that it saw just over a year ago. Now, Thailand up 1.5% in here today. Indonesia's gain was 1.43%. New Zealand was higher. Australia was higher, I believe. No, Australia was Australia was a little lower in here today, but almost unchanged. Now, the European stock markets were mixed and really quite quiet today, so not much going on there. In the Americas, Wall Street gave up a little bit of ground. The S&P was not able to hold its move to new high ground. Although, you know, it's down just under 0.5% in here, so that is really not a, it's obviously not a dynamic. But really, if you look at Wall Street over the last 5 months, it's been going sideways. And so for the most part, with a slight upward bias for some of the indices that had previously lagged somewhat, such as the Dow and also the S&P 500, very good moves, but they lagged well behind the Nasdaq Composite. Now, Nasdaq Composite has not gained, backed off here today, down 0.72%. And what that's, although it's rallied, took the pressure off that 4,000 level, it's only at 4,100, so it's well below its high. And the Russell 2000 was down yesterday, and it was also weaker today, and that's getting close to the lower side of its range once again. So both the NASDAQ composite and also the Russell 2000 need stronger rallies to question the possibility that top formations are actually occurring, or if not top formations, we just get lengthy, long, ranging phases here. But again, Wall Street a little bit overbought here, and a little bit more expensive than other markets. So I think the big message is, don't chase previously fashionable or even still fashionable growth stocks that have low yields. I'd favor a much more conservative policy on Wall Street, including high yielders. But you'll find the best of the high yielders outside of the or outside of the USA here right now. Now, Brazil extended its recovery overall, and that's in line with the generally firm resources theme. And there are a lot of sleeper type base formations, or certainly support platforms, that are evident on the leading miners and mining indices. Now, looking elsewhere, government bond yields, sharp decline in here today, and the U.S. 10-year, for instance, had a bit of a downward dynamic and fell to 2.5445. Now, that remember, it had been trading largely in that 2.6 to 2.8 range, but it has been hovering near that 2.6 lower side of that range, really for the last couple of weeks or so. And so this was a clear downward break from there. So what's going on? Well, I'm not sure, to be honest, but we know that markets in the short to medium term are a voting machine, but I actually doubt that the people who are buying these bonds today are doing so because they feel that either deflation is going to seize the U.S. economy, or that growth is going to is going to slump. My own view is, and I've said so often in these audios, is that this is right in line with the Rogoff-Reinhart forecasts and the others, that it takes minimum of 5 years. And it can easily take a few years longer before you get back to any kind of normal GDP growth following a major credit crisis recession, particularly if that's been a global phenomenon, as was certainly the case in 2000 and 8. But you look at what the U.S. economy is doing, and it's been a kind of a sort of a staggered, very, very gradual recovery, but it's staggering forward rather than backward. I put it I put it that way. And of course, so many U.S. companies are doing better, but again, the share buybacks tend to flatter the earnings, as we know. Now, elsewhere here, the U.S. dollar index, well, it's a tad lower, but and it's currently at the DXY is at 80.06, so that's only 1 point really above the important lateral trading range at 79. Sterling's been retreating, I think, 5 or 6 out of the last 7 market days. And it's down to 1.3714. Remember, it was last week that it had tested that one. Sorry, that's the euro that I gave you. Forgive me. The euro is slightly firmer at 1.3714. Sterling is retreating, and it's currently at 1.6768. And it had tested, I think it was the beginning of last week, it had actually tested that 170 little psychological level, and so it's backed off again in here. The main story here today, I would say, though, is the strength of precious metals. And this has been a while coming, although not for palladium. Palladium's good and steady in here at 828. It's been the firmest overall, as you know. And silver, better action in here today. Didn't hold the highs of the day, but it's currently at $19.78, 78.5 actually, having touched 20 briefly here earlier in the day. And gold currently up over $12, nearly at 1306. And that's looking sort of bassy in here. Platinum at 100, sorry, 1483, nearly 1484. That's got a good gain here, up nearly $28 today. So what's going on there? Well, we know that the U.S. investment banks have sort of gotten together to talk these precious metals down. That's been the case for a good many months. And they've had some success. They've caused them to challenge lows on range lows, I should say, on a number of occasions. And these are range lows that go well back into last year. But I think they've been quite aggressive, but I think the game is actually changing against them overall. We're seeing a general recovery in mining sectors overall. China continues to accumulate, or Chinese people continue to accumulate gold, and their currency is no longer strengthening, so that's gives them even a little bit more incentive to accumulate gold. And Narendra Modi's victory in India, the BJP party has been talking about removing those tax penalties on gold purchases. Now, I certainly don't expect that to happen overnight. It's hardly a priority here overall, but it was mentioned in the election, and I think that probably the people who were going to sell precious metals in the West, all those people who had piled into those precious metals ETFs. My guess is that the vast majority who have any intention of getting out of them at anywhere near today's levels have already done so. So my feeling is that looking at the charts and looking at the other factors that I just mentioned, that it will be harder for the U.S. investment banks to talk the precious metals down to the levels that they're reputed to want to see, such as 1,000 for gold. And therefore, I think that the bigger risks are to the upside, or opportunities if you're holding some of those precious metals. Again, the evidence is not conclusive, but I think it is looking a little more interesting in here right now. Industrial metals didn't do a whole lot here today, but zinc and aluminium were up somewhat, and the agricultural commodities a bit mixed. I think coffee and cocoa were lower. Wheat and corn are a bit lower. Soybeans a fraction steadier. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.